break tradition and ask you to do one more song. How about that? Number 341. 341. The song is a familiar one. Is Your Life a Channel of Blessing? Now, I admit that when I was young, I had a lot of weird ideas about church songs. But somehow I got the idea this song was about God's making a channel of blessings right down to me. But now when you read the words, that's not what it's about. It's about my life being a channel of blessing to others. And that's really a wake-up call spiritually to say, it's not about what God just does for me, it's about what I do for others. And tonight we're going to be talking about forgiveness, so I thought we would sing this song. Number 341. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those that are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from all sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Now, be honest with me, how many of you that was a new song? It didn't make its way to California. Now it has. The channel is not here. Okay. I just assumed everybody knew it. Sorry about that. But I thought I'd go ahead and sing it anyway. We would just learn it together in that respect then. Okay. Thank you. Open your Bibles to John chapter 21. Tonight's lesson is titled Demonstrating Forgiveness from John chapter 21. Forgiveness is a tough subject, and we're not going to be talking about all aspects of forgiveness tonight, but we are going to be talking about Jesus' forgiveness of Peter as demonstrated in John 21. And Jesus was never one to skirt a difficult subject. Have you noticed that? Jesus knew the rewards of a renewed relationship are worth the difficult price and task of forgiveness. Now, I do realize you can forgive someone and choose not to reconcile with them. I understand there's some situations that's actually preferable. For your protection, you can forgive someone, but you may not be able to trust them again because of what they did to you. I understand that. But we're talking about the relationship here of Jesus and Peter. Ultimately, we have two choices. Either we learn the hard, difficult work of forgiveness, or we settle life for life without any deep relationships. Because, mark it down, we're going to be like a couple of porcupines in a convention. We're going to needle each other, we're going to get too close to each other, and then we're going to hurt each other at some point in time. Have you noticed that? If you're a human being and you're in a relationship with another human being, over time, at some point, there will be that time that comes. We can't avoid them all. But we can do is learn the fine art of forgiveness. The Apostle Paul said, love keeps no record of wrongs, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love does not keep a scorecard and say, well, I'm not going to forgive them. Love keeps no records of wrongs, and we know that. To be like Jesus is to learn to extend forgiveness to those who have sinned against us. And first comes the decision to forgive. And the decision to forgive is an inside job. It's something that happens in our heart. When we said, I know what happened to me was wrong, it was hurtful, or whatever it was, but I'm going to choose to move past that because of the benefits of a restored relationship. If you're married, you have had to practice forgiveness. Amen? It comes with the territory. If you have children, you have had to practice forgiveness. It's a reality. It begins with the decision to forgive. And then we choose to demonstrate that forgiveness, which allows us to have that renewed relationship. And that's what Jesus wanted to do with Peter and succeeded in doing. John chapter 21 shows us how Jesus demonstrated his forgiveness of Peter. Now, Peter was in need of the Lord's forgiveness. I think we all know the story, but I'm going to refresh our minds just a little bit. Back in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told Peter, Peter told Jesus, even if all fall away on account of you, I'll never fall away. Lord, I'm going to be loyal to you. You mark it down. I'll be fine. And Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. You remember that one? Peter was too confident in himself. And we get into trouble when we're too confident in ourselves sometimes, don't we? Because self is sometimes weak. And self sometimes makes mistakes. And Peter found that out in a hurry, didn't he? Peter was so confident that he would never deny Jesus. He just said, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus said, not so fast, Peter. Before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. After Jesus' resurrection, the angel at the tomb told the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. Have you ever noticed that? Now, I can't guarantee why the angel specifically said, tell Peter, but I have an idea. I got a feeling that Peter's faith had petered out. I think Peter had just said, well, I'm all washed up. I denied Jesus. Now Jesus is dead, and I can't do anything about it. Have you ever had a time when you were so down on yourself for what you did or didn't do? And you just needed that sense of forgiveness, that sense of peace? So the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Remember, he's still a disciple, but he may not feel like one right now. In John chapter 20, Jesus appears to the 11, you know, the 12 minus Judas. But Peter's shame still kept him as arm's length from Jesus. And shame does that to us, doesn't it? We just don't feel like we deserve that relationship, so we just pull back in ourselves. And that shame keeps us from intimacy. After the appearances of Jesus, seven disciples decided to go fishing. That night they had miserable luck fishing. They caught nothing. And the Bible tells us how Jesus interrupts Peter's fishing trip at the end of a terrible fishing trip with some really good news, but I want you to see how Jesus demonstrated the forgiveness to Peter. Our text is John 21, and we're going to see how Jesus did it and how we can learn to demonstrate forgiveness of others. Point number one is you take the initiative. Jesus had already forgiven Peter of the denials, but Peter didn't know it. Peter didn't feel very forgiven because he didn't feel forgivable. You been there? But Jesus didn't wait for Peter to approach him with an apology. Do you notice that? Jesus didn't fold his arms as well. When Peter comes back and says he's sorry and he made a mess of things, then I'll consider forgiving him. Jesus didn't wait for an apology. Jesus took the initiative to renew Peter's relationship. We demonstrate forgiveness by taking the initiative. Don't wait for their phone call. Don't wait for their note. Don't wait for their apology. Seek them out like Jesus take the initiative. Now I'd like to read verses 4 through 8 of John 21. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. We've been skunked tonight. The skunk part's not in there, but I think you understand. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, right, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him. He'd taken it off. He jumped into the water. The other disciples followed the boat, towing a net full of fish, for they're not far from shore, about 100 yards. The second point tonight is that Jesus met Peter on familiar turf. Because what was Peter's occupation? He was a fisherman. That's what he knew. He'd gone out fishing, caught nothing that night. But Jesus met him on the familiar turf. Peter and 6 other disciples had gone fishing. Fishing boat was Peter's turf. It was where Peter was comfortable, where he had a home field advantage, if you will. In fact, when Jesus initially called Peter to discipleship, what was Peter doing? He was fishing, wasn't he? And that story is found back in Luke chapter 5. I'd like to read it to you. And I'd like you to notice the similarity of the Luke 5 reading to the John 21 reading, which we're going to be doing. First, Luke 5, Peter's initial call to discipleship. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by fishermen, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Pull into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. Now, that's a fishing trip, isn't it? Well, you can't even put all the fish in the boat. When Simon Peter saw this, he realized a miracle had taken place now. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am what? A sinful man. I'm someone who doesn't deserve you, Lord. I've messed up in life. Lord, you just worked this miracle for me, but I don't deserve this miracle of all these fish because I'm a sinner. Lord, just leave me alone." How many times do we say, "Leave me alone, Jesus," because we don't feel worthy of his presence? Because we know we're like Peter, we're sinners. Verse 9, "For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him." And I want you to notice the similarities between Peter's original call to discipleship and back in Luke 5 and Jesus' recall of Peter to renewed discipleship and acceptance and demonstrating forgiveness in John 21. Both occurred when Peter was fishing, his home turf, his own occupation. And when Jesus directed them where to place the nets, in both cases, the number of fish caught was large, wasn't it? Jesus directed where to place the nets, and the fishing was good. Notice also Peter's guilt. Remember that, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner." And notice Jesus' affirmation of Peter's discipleship. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch" who? Catch men. I believe that Jesus wished to demonstrate forgiveness and the calling again of Peter in John chapter 21 in an atmosphere that was pregnant with the meaning and emotion of his first call of discipleship. So what Jesus is providing Peter is a deja vu experience, right? In John 21, he's replaying the call to discipleship that Peter experienced initially over in Luke chapter 5. Do you know there's a great power of place? We have some friends who just celebrated their 40th anniversary. We went to college with them. They were the first couple married. But we're not quite to 40 yet. We're working on it. But they celebrated their 40th anniversary. You know what they did for their 40th anniversary? They went back and rented the same place where they had their honeymoon because of the power of place. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's putting Peter in the same position, the same circumstances as his original call to discipleship because of the power of place. The best way to demonstrate our forgiveness is to go to the trouble to meet someone on their familiar turf with the power of place, if you will. involved that connect us to the emotions of the past. We demonstrate our forgiveness by going out of the way to meet people where they are. Number three tonight. Let's look at verse 9 through 14 to see what Jesus did. He provided a meal. Verse 9 through 14. John 21. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there and the fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was so full of fish, 153. John even remembers the number. Isn't that amazing? That's a true fisherman. He knows exactly how many fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus had already been cooking some of the fish, and then he asked his disciples, "Well, bring a little of the potluck with you. You guys got a lot of fish. Come on, bring a few of those new fresh caught fish to the potluck. Come and have breakfast." Isn't there a power of food and sharing a meal with people? Have you noticed that? The best way to get somebody to talk and to relax and to build a relationship is to invite them to coffee or to lunch and just visit. There's a power of food. Even in 21st century California, food brings people together. Have you noticed that? Food, drink, we come together for that. We share lives, we share hearts. Jesus provided the basis of the meal, but he invited Peter to bring some of the fish so Peter wouldn't be too self-conscious about it. And, you know, "Come on, bring a little of this potluck we're having here. This is a potluck breakfast. You bring a little fish." Jesus was very clear that he wanted Peter in relationship with him because he provided breakfast and invited Peter to eat. It's amazing what happens in a conversation when you have a cup of coffee in your hand. Have you noticed that? You know, if we're talking after services, we can have a good conversation, but it's usually kind of superficial. "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, my week's fine." And we go on about our way. But if we sit down, let's say we're in the fellowship hall, and we each have a cup of coffee or tea or something going on there, or Coke if you want, and we're sitting down and we're visiting, what happens? We usually talk a little more, don't we? Now, if we decide to go out to lunch today, and we go out to a restaurant somewhere and we order a meal, then what happens? We talk even more, don't we? I guess that means if you go to the all-in-eat buffet, you get a lot of talking done. The point I'm making is food and drink bring relationships together. And Jesus was cognizant of that, and he provided the meal. There were no golden arches back then, by the way, and a meal was a time of socialization in the ancient culture, just as it is today. Not just a matter of filling tummies. We don't know what was said during that meal, but after breakfast, Jesus, in effect, says, "Peter, let's talk. You know, here's breakfast. Let's just visit for a while." The talk was not for Jesus' benefit. It was for Peter's benefit. The conversation wouldn't be easy for Peter, but it was necessary. After all, he denied the Lord three times. But did Jesus put down breakfast and said, "Now, Peter, I want to talk to you about these denial things"? No, he didn't do that, did he? Instead, he provided for Peter's needs, the breakfast, and then he invited him into conversation. And we're going to get to that conversation next. Peter deserved a lecture, but instead of the lecture, the Lord opened with a question. And if you want to really make your way into people's hearts, ask them questions. Let them do more talking. And here I am, a preacher, and I'm doing all the talking. Isn't that terrible? But when you are in an individual conversation with people, ask them questions. Let them expose themselves. Let them talk. Just ask good questions. It's amazing what people will tell you. Here's Jesus' question. "Simon, do you truly love me more than these?" Oh, how that question must have stung. Because in his bravado, Peter said, "Lord, I'll never deny you. I've got this thing down, Jesus. I'll never deny you." And of course he did. Peter had misplaced his confidence. He had too much confidence himself, not as much as he should in Christ. And he had broken his promise not once, but three times. He had no right to be considered a disciple of Jesus. He'd failed. Notice that Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" And it's unclear from the text for sure if it's these things or these men. I suspect it's the latter. It could be these things. "Do you love me more than fishing?" But I think there's something more deeper than that. I think Jesus is saying, "Do you love me more than these other guys?" Because remember, there were other men at the breakfast, other disciples at the breakfast, right? "Do you love me more than these guys do?" Peter had bragged he did. "Even if all fall away, I won't, Lord." How's Peter answer? "Yes, Lord, I'm your friend. I phileo you." Phileo is the Greek word, "I'm your friend." So Jesus says, "Do you agape me? Do you love me deeply and unconditionally?" And Peter answers, "Lord, I'm your friend." I don't think Peter had the guts to say that he loved Jesus after he had denied him. But he still wants relationship with Jesus, and Jesus has wanted to demonstrate his forgiveness. But he wants to work through this issue of the denial. So Jesus repeats the question, "Simon, do you truly love me?" And Peter repeats his answer, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I'm your friend." In his guilt, Peter can't bring himself to use the same word that Jesus used. Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" Peter says, "I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. I like you." It's kind of like on a date when the girl looks into the guy's eyes and says, "Oh, do you love me?" And he says, "Oh, I like you." Boy, doesn't that deflate things in a hurry. That's the same kind of thing that's going on here. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "I like you. You're my friend." The third time, Jesus changes the question. "Simon, do you phileo me? Are you my friend?" Simon was hurt because the question was asked a third time, "Do you phileo me?" And he answers, "Yes, you know that I phileo you. You know I'm your friend." Notice that Jesus did not give Peter a lecture. Peter was lecturing himself plenty. Jesus didn't have to lecture Peter, right? When people are hurting and you want to demonstrate forgiveness, you don't usually need to wag a finger in front of their face. Usually they feel bad enough on their own. What they need is an acceptance that you have not written them off, that you have not said the relationship is over. Peter was already hurting, repentant, and guilty. In his heart, Peter was reminded that his confidence in himself had not been strong enough to keep him from sin. And by the way, isn't that true for us too? Every time I say, "Lord, I'll never do that again," and guess what happens? What Jesus did is he lanced the boil of Peter's guilt, but the complete healing would take some time. Jesus demonstrated the forgiveness of Peter, not so much in what he said, but in what he didn't say. No lecture, no warnings, just a simple probing question of, "Peter, where are you at with your relationship with me? Do you love me more than these? Where's your trust?" Point number four. If you want to demonstrate forgiveness, entrust someone with a new responsibility. Look at verse 15 through 17. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "I got a job for you, Peter. Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because the Lord asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, some people have made a big deal about the difference in lambs and sheep, and that may or may not be the case, but I think you get the general gist of what's going on. Jesus says, "Peter, I've got a job for you. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed them. Take care of them. I trust you to do my work." Isn't that what Jesus is telling Peter? You haven't gone so far away that I can't trust you to do my work. I've got a job for you, Peter. You see, true forgiveness is entrusting people back into our lives to do something, to make a difference. And that's what Jesus is doing, is saying, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of them. And we demonstrate our forgiveness of others when we give them an important task to do. Because that says, I've accepted you. And that's exactly what Peter needed to hear, is that Jesus accepted him. Peter was not being demoted to being, the menial task. Okay, Peter, we need somebody, to do the dishes in the disciple group, so you're elected since you messed up with the denial thing. You got the KP duty from here on out. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, take care of my sheep, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. Now let's notice what Jesus didn't do. Jesus did not actually say the words, at least as far as we know in this text. I'll say it that way. So let me use that disclaimer. As far as we know in this text, Jesus never said to Peter, Peter, I forgive you. I don't think it's in this text, is it? Now, it's possible Jesus said the words and John didn't record them, but I got a feeling Jesus didn't say the words because he didn't have to. Jesus' actions communicated his forgiveness of Peter. Jesus demonstrated his forgiveness of Peter by inviting him to a meal, by having the talk without a lecture, by entrusting Peter with an important job to do. Jesus didn't have to tell him, you're forgiven. He demonstrated it. Now, here's my opinion. In my opinion, unless a person specifically asks for our forgiveness, the words, I forgive you, are often best left unsaid. They should be demonstrated and not spoken. Actions speak louder than words. When I tell someone, and again, this is my opinion, they haven't asked for my forgiveness, and I say, I forgive you, in some ways, that kind of puts me over them, instead of renewing a relationship as peers. That's a thought for your consideration. Forgiven people can live a life of power. And because Jesus cared about Peter enough to demonstrate forgiveness, Peter became the great apostle who preached on the day of Pentecost. What would have happened to Peter? What would have happened to the early church if Jesus didn't know how to forgive Peter? Of course, Jesus was divine. He'd know how to do it, right? But I'm just saying, if it hadn't worked this way, and Peter, said, I've washed out as a disciple. Lord, I'm out of here. If Jesus hadn't demonstrated forgiveness of Peter, if Peter had not been the disciple that he was, what would have happened in the New Testament? We wouldn't have had Peter in Acts 2. Maybe somebody else had gotten up and preached the sermon. Probably so. But can you imagine early Christian history without Peter? It's really hard to, isn't it? Jesus knew how to rescue and restore and forgive and to demonstrate that forgiveness and get that disciple back where he needs to be in a place of service. And I believe Jesus' example is an example for me in how to demonstrate forgiveness and renew relationship and to get things back where they need to be. We can't go through life without any close relationships of any kind, without giving and receiving forgiveness, because we hurt each other. We will be hurt and we will hurt others. And I understand, like I mentioned in the introduction, there are sometimes in a relationship it's better not to try to renew the relationship because it's dangerous to do so. You might be able to forgive someone who murdered a relative, but you probably don't want relationship with them, a close relationship, because that might not be a healthy thing to do. And many other examples of that. But what I am saying is that Jesus knew how to restore Peter gently, but clearly, by demonstrating forgiveness and his acceptance of Peter as an apostle. And this story also reminds me that I'm a lot like Peter. Sometimes in my own bravado, I said, Lord, I've got this. You don't need to worry about me. I'm okay. Even if all fall away, I'll never do it, Lord. I'll never mess up. And then we deny the Lord by word or by deed or by attitude. I'm a lot more like Peter than I'd like to admit. And Jesus comes alongside and says, do you love me more than these? Mark, are you really any better than other people? No, you're just like other people. Accept that. But also accept my forgiveness and love. And that's what Jesus did in demonstrating it to Peter. Tonight, if you've accepted the initial forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Jesus, have you become a Christian as the Bible teaches by your faith in Christ as God's Son, your repentance, your spiritual U-turn, your baptism into Jesus Christ? That's where the journey begins. But the journey doesn't end in the baptistry. The baptistry is the beginning. It's kind of like a marriage ceremony. Did you know that a wedding does not end a marriage, it begins one? And in the same way, a wedding begins a marriage, baptism begins the Christian life. It's the first step to a much longer and rewarding journey. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation to either put Him on in baptism or ask prayers of this body of people, we invite you to the God who forgives because He loves so much. Let's stand together. Let's sing.